Good morning and welcome back to another edition of High Desert Dialogue, conversations with Regina and Roxanne right here on Talk 960. We are Keep It Local. We are featuring High Desert community issues, events, organizations, and individuals you don't want to miss. You can always catch us Saturdays right here at 9 a.m. and Sundays at 8 a.m. here on Talk 960. Let's get to it.
Well, good morning. You know, I always come on and I say how excited I am, but I'm really excited to have today's guest in studio with us. I've known this young man for a few years, and I feel really deeply invested because I saw this idea that he and one of his best friends had come to fruition. And so I want to dive right in and get his story and have him tell us about this wonderful City of Victorville Wellness Center that now exists to help address our homeless situation. So it's my pleasure to welcome to High Desert Dialogue Conversations with Regina and Roxanne, our own Dr. Sean Smith from the Simber Center. Welcome. Thank you for being with us today.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me. It's awesome to be able to share some of the work that we've been doing. So I look forward to the conversation and to what you alluded to, Regina. You've been invested in this project for a long time. So it's really awesome to be able to be here sharing this work with you specifically with
the
community.
Yeah. Wonderful, wonderful work. So Dr. Sean, if you don't mind, maybe take us back, give us a little brief history of how Simba Center came to be, and then also came to be a very vital part of this City of Victorville Wellness Center.
Yeah, so when I was a pharmacy student back in 2015, I had developed a great friendship with a gentleman named Dr. Bowtie Bryan, as he goes by.
Yes.
And we just saw that there was a huge need in the community, many communities, for enhanced services for those who are unhoused, uninsured, low income. Mm-hmm. And we envisioned a community center where all services that someone could need could be provided, kind of a one-stop shop. We weren't sure what that would look like or where it would be, but we prayed that God would use our gifts to be able to provide services to those in need. And we graduated from the university and kind of set on different paths in order to become prepared to be ready for what was in store for us. And when I had moved back here, we had incorporated Simba Center as a 501c3 nonprofit in 2019. And right before the pandemic, we started engaging in the community, meeting folks like yourself. Mm-hmm. And people like you and others gave us tremendous guidance on understanding the needs of this local High Desert community, since neither Brian and I are from this local area.
Right.
But we had familiarized ourselves with the county being in Loma Linda. And then the pandemic hit, and we were called upon by the City of Victorville to provide COVID-19 compliance and mitigation strategies to help prevent outbreaks at those local shelters, manage those situations where people tested positive. We had clinicians going out to do testing every day, mm-hmm. managing people who were sick, making referrals to the emergency department, and really keeping those shelters open. And it was from that point on that the City of Victorville realized that they needed to build a more comprehensive site to be able to provide support and services to those who are unhoused in our community. And now, as you've mentioned, the Wellness Center is built, but it's been about 5 years in the making.
Yeah, but when you put it in perspective, 5 years during a pandemic, mm-hmm. you know, we should be giving kudos to getting that work done, right?
Thank you.
Because typically it takes us much longer to because this was erected, if I'm correct, it was erected from the ground up.
Yes.
And there was some there's some innovativeness that's been used in terms of how the buildings are, et cetera, et cetera, the mm-hmm. technology, all of that. And I'll let you tell us that, because otherwise I'll start lying and misrepresenting what's there. But my point is, from 2019 to now, mm-hmm. Simba Center came alongside and started working in this community, doing the outreach. You guys were a tremendous asset to us during COVID. And now we find you here and you're a major player in the Wellness Center. Is that right? So can you share with us what that looks like, what that means?
Absolutely. So from the point in time that we started working with the city on COVID compliance, we had built trust not just amongst the city staff, but also the other nonprofits in the area. And
right.
then eventually the residents here who were relying on us for services. And so it started out with COVID, but then became, can you provide primary care?
Mm-hmm.
So we started hiring on medical professionals to be able to actually see patients, do wellness exams, laboratory testing, medication prescriptions. And then it was, can you do mental health?
Mm-hmm.
Can you do case management?
Wow.
Social work, substance use disorder counseling. And the list went on and on. And it's really a story of slow, seemingly, like you mentioned, it was fast, but there was incremental growth.
Mm-hmm.
Right? From my perspective, there was that slow and incremental growth where you provide one service, you stabilize it, and then you add another one. And
mm-hmm.
then you do that same process again and add another one. And it came to the point where we realized that we were a great fit to be a provider at the Wellness Center. And we applied for the RFP that was proposed by the city.
Right.
Went through an interview process, worked on a contract with the city of Victorville. And so we are the wraparound service provider. So we provide all of the medical, mental health, case management, substance use disorder training. We also bring on outside entities to do job training, financial literacy programs,
okay.
life skills.
Mm-hmm.
All of that is done through our organization. And the city also brought on an organization called Hope the Mission
mm-hmm.
to provide the shelter operations. So the security, the intake process, food, all of the maintenance of the facility, all of those different things. So it's a true partnership where you have two nonprofits, experienced nonprofits working with the city of Victorville in kind of this triad partnership to ensure that everyone in our community has a place to stay if needed.
Right. Now, let me ask a question. Who, I may not be posing this as best as I could, but give me some sense of who receives services mm-hmm. from the Wellness Center. What does that profile of person look like?
So the residents at the facility, they must be chronically homeless.
Okay.
Okay, so those are people that have a long standing history of not having a place of residence.
Okay, and when you say mm-hmm. chronically homeless, because I know there's a definition of chronic homeless that HUD has, and
mm-hmm.
there's a definition that the county has,
mm-hmm.
and so how do we define at the center chronic?
Yeah, we're defining chronic homeless as people who are unhoused for 6 months.
Okay.
And there's a few other criteria as well, but that's the main one
okay.
that I think is most important to highlight. And then, you know, it's also open to families. It's open to veterans. It's open to all of the populations that really fall through the cracks in many ways.
Wonderful.
Because as you know very well, there's domestic violence shelters.
Yes.
And those facilities. But, you know, a lot of times people who don't meet one of these specific populations, you know, there really is no service for them. So
right.
we're taking in those who are chronically homeless. And a significant portion of our population is actually seniors, which is very unfortunate. We also have people who, again, have substance use disorder, and methamphetamine is a big challenge, as well as alcohol
mm-hmm.
Is causing a lot of blight in our community. And then there's also mental health, mental illness as well. So we do see schizophrenia and bipolar disorder out there. And those are challenges that, we are individualizing those treatment plans for each person.
Okay.
So when they come in, it's not one size fits all.
Okay.
Each person does receive the basic needs.
Okay.
But at the same time, gets a plan by their case manager that's tailored for them.
Well, we definitely want to thank you. We want to thank the city of Victorville for the commitment to make this happen. We know that this isn't the all-in solution, but we know that we're much better because of having this resource in our community, and so we thank you for that. I'm going to invite you back to tell us a bit more, do a deeper dive, to talk about the things that you are doing, and also how we as community can come around and help to support. So again, if you wouldn't mind giving us that number so that anyone who's interested, especially if there are seniors because we know we're seeing that uptick in our senior population who's needing housing. Please, that number again?
760-515-2464.
Dr. Sean, we want to thank you. May God continue to bless you and all of those who are working with you to do this great work. This is enormous. The challenge is enormous, but look at what you've been able to do in just 5 short years. So thank you for being with us today.
Yeah, thank you so much for the invitation. Looking forward to coming back. And as you've mentioned, this is only possible through our community, and we believe we need to become one community so that we can be able to support our folks on the street with this mission that we have to help them with wholeness and independence moving into the future. So thank you.
Thank you. And on that note, we're going to end because that's a most positive message. Just once again, thank you for being who you are and being here today. Well, good morning. We hope everybody is doing well, warm and dry and all that good stuff. February is known as Black History Month. And this year, we want to do something that's a little bit different in exploring and learning more about those aspects of our history that are oftentimes kind of not talked about, although we may be aware of it, but we just don't really know the history of it or why certain organizations exist and the history of those organizations. And so, Roxanne, we're going to do a two-parter.
Okay.
So for the next couple of weeks, we're going to have some amazing women in to talk to us about the sororities that they belong to. And there is a thing that's identified as Black Sorority Life.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to find out the history of that, why they exist, how they've existed.
We're looking forward to it.
Yeah. And so it is really, I'm really very excited to have the guest on this morning who happens to be someone I've known for quite some time. This is an amazing woman. I'm going to have her tell us a little bit about who she is, but I will tell you that she has been the president of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority for 4 years. She's going to share with us about that sorority and basically anything else that she'd like to share with us as we are recognizing and celebrating Black History Month this year. So without further ado, it's my privilege and pleasure to introduce Frances Lewis, who is the president of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority. Frances, welcome.
Yes, welcome.
Thank you for joining us this
morning.
So tell us just a little bit about you and how long you've been here in the high desert.
I've been in the desert for 27 years now.
Wow.
Yes, made this my home in 1996.
Okay.
And I came here with my husband. We're a military family.
Okay.
So we came out to Barstow. My husband is a retired Marine.
Okay.
So that's how we found our way out here. And he told me when I came, just till I finish my tour of duty here. And here we are, and it's our home
and
now.
And it's home.
Yes.
Yes. And then, Frances, as I understand it, you're now retired, but you're an educator. So just tell us a little bit about that experience here in the high desert.
Yes, I retired in 2019 after 34 years in education.
Thank you.
And I started teaching for LA Unified. Teaching is the only job I've ever had.
Wow.
I've been an educator, and that's all I know to do. I came here, and I started teaching in Hesperia.
Wow.
And from being a teacher, I became an administrator in Hesperia.
Wow.
And in 2019, I retired. It was really good. Teaching in Hesperia. I enjoyed every minute of it teaching, and I enjoyed every minute of being an administrator.
Well, we want to thank you for your services. It is, to put it mildly, a noble profession.
Thank you.
You retired, and you're still whole and can put a sentence together, so we're happy about that. But let's jump in and talk about Delta Sigma Theta. Can you give us a little bit of history about the sorority and basically why it exists?
Certainly, certainly. I am the president of the High Desert Alumni Chapter of Delta Sigma Theta, and we have over 1,000 chapters in the U.S. and abroad, and we have over 350,000 women as members.
Wow. And how old is the organization?
The organization is 111 years old. It was founded on Howard University, on the campus of Howard University, January 13th, 1913, by 22 collegiate women. And they wanted to get together and have some activism in their community. They wanted to strive for rights for women and to provide and assist their communities. So that is how Delta Sigma Theta got started on Howard's campus. And from those 22 collegiate women, we have grown. And I say that we are our founders' wildest dreams now, because from 22 women, we have over 350,000 members of Delta Sigma Theta.
That's amazing. And so tell us about the sorority. The reason you exist, as you mentioned, there's varied initiatives, right, that you address. And then I also understand that community service is huge.
Community service is what we do. Delta Sigma Theta is all about scholarship, sisterhood, service, and social action. Those are our four tenets that we operate by. So everything we do has to do with that. Let's start with the sisterhood piece. Networking. You know, black women have had to face some obstacles.
Yes.
And it's always wonderful when you can be with people who look like you and understand the struggle that you've been in.
Yes.
And our founders knew that also. So now we have sisterhood in Delta Sigma Theta. And I said during our Martin Luther King Peace March, you can't go anywhere without having a Delta in the room.
Yes.
And that sisterhood and that bond. You know, I was walking through the airport in Texas, and I happened to have on my symbols. And out of the clear blue, I hear someone yelling, "Soror, soror!" And I turn around, and it's one of my sisters. And in the airport, we stop to have a chat, and that's the sisterhood. That's the networking. No matter where we go, we are sisters. And then, of course, the scholarship piece. We are very high on academics. Whether if for our collegiate SOARs, and those are our undergraduate SOARs, we hold a high standard for them for membership. And once they become members, they have to maintain their grade point average to be active in the sorority.
Great.
Our service is a big part of us. We look to serve our communities. We look to serve, as I say, people who look like us. But no matter where a Delta lands in her community, it is her job to service the entire community. One of our members said that the only way we are going to make our communities better is to serve. Because we know what we need in our community. And if we are going to be a resource in the community, then we have to get out and serve.
Right. And can you talk to us a little bit, Frances, about what that service in the High Desert community looks like?
Sure, sure. We have, first of all, the High Desert Alumni Chapter is coming up on its 18th anniversary as a charter.
Wow.
We chartered September 17th, 2006. So we are coming up on 18 years of service right here in the High Desert. And when I say the High Desert, our service area reaches as far as Fort Irwin,
okay,
all the way to the Victor Valley and in the cities here, but we also reach all the way to Yucca Valley.
Great.
So we have a huge service area that we cover. And mainly we service the Victor Valley, but we always make sure that we are touching bases with the community out at the base at Fort Irwin and also out at Yucca Valley. So as Deltas, we started this in probably 2005, the Martin Luther King Peace March. And that's mostly what we are known for. We commemorate the peace marches that Dr. King had when he was active and working in the struggle. So we always want to remember what he gave to us and those who fought with him and never forget the legacy that he has left. So we have provided that for the past 16 years in the High Desert. We started that, and we hope to continue it as long as we can in partnership with our city here.
And for those who have never attended the Peace March, can you share a little bit about what happens there?
Sure. We commemorate or we simulate a peace march. Mm-hmm. It's a very short peace march, but we walk from one point to another, and while we are walking, we sing some of those freedom songs that they sang during the march. And then we come to a staging area, and we have a short program. And that program is usually with a keynote speaker who is going to uplift and encourage the community.
And just because there's so much to talk about, but I don't want to lose this. That peace march that you're talking about, you do in partnership with the city of Victorville. Is that correct?
Yes, yes.
And you've done that with them for how many years now?
For 16 years now.
For 16 years with the city of Victorville. They have come alongside and partnered with you to mm-hmm. make sure that we can have that. And another point that our listeners may not be aware of that has come out of that, the city of Victorville has a civil rights memorial.
Yes,
right?
They do.
On their campus. And the Deltas have incorporated every year having whomever that person is that's being inducted into that memorial, mm-hmm. having a service acknowledging and honoring that person. And that's also done in partnership with Victor Elementary School District. Do I have that correct?
Yes, that is correct. The city has partnered with us on that for probably the past 8 years. And Delta Sigma Theta was the first, purchased the first plaque that is a part of that monument. And we have seen it grow, and we're very happy about that. They have students from the Victor L. School District write essays. There's an essay contest.
Right.
And from that essay contest, a winner is chosen. And the winner is honored by having the person that they wrote about have their plaque put into the civil rights memorial that is on the city campus.
Right. And so if you haven't been on the city's campus to see this memorial, please go see it. As I understand it, there's a QR code that's on each one of those plaques.
Yes.
And so you can scan that QR code and you can read that student's essay,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
And learn more about the person who has been inducted into that memorial. Frances, I don't want to let you leave us without telling us how, if someone's interested, they can get in touch with, learn more about your organization and what you're doing, come alongside and work with, mm-hmm. right? Find out about the events that you have going on. So how can people reach out and contact you?
We are always looking for partners.
Great.
Delta Sigma Theta is a member-funded organization. So we are always looking for sponsorships. We have a website that you can go to. It's dsthdac.org, and click our donate button, and you can donate. You can also go to our email page. It is hdac_06@yahoo.com, and drop us a message if you want some information, if you want a partnership with us. That is a good way to contact us also.
Great. And are there any upcoming events or anything that you want our listeners to know about? I know you mentioned scholarships, and I know we're mm-hmm. in scholarship season now. So are there scholarships that are available, and how would one go about? And who are they available to? Let's address that. Who are the scholarships available to?
Our scholarships are available for all students in our service area who are graduating seniors. So male and female, we give scholarships every year to boys, and we have given out over $35,000 in scholarships.
That's wonderful.
So we do have a scholarship application on our website. So if you go to our website, you can apply electronically, and the due date for this year is February 12th. So there's still time for the kids to apply for this scholarship.
Okay, and tell us one more time before we leave what that website is, so that if they're interested in the scholarship, because February 12th is coming quick,
right.
right? But there's still time to apply. So that website again is
dsthdac.org.
Okay, so Frances, before we go, I do have a question I want to ask. Membership.
Mm-hmm.
How does one become a member, and is there criteria? Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yes, there is a criteria for membership. We are looking for college-educated women and women who are working in the community, working in the community where they are living, where they can show that they have a history of serving, because that's what we're all about. So we want to bring in women who are already serving in the communities that they live in.
That's wonderful. So again, I want to thank you for spending this time with us today, enlightening us on Black sorority life, right, and the history. And hopefully we will have you back soon to share with us a lot of the things that are going on in the community that you guys are doing. So thank you again for being here with us this morning.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Well, Regina, it's been a great month here on Conversations with Regina and Roxanne.
Oh, my God, Roxanne, can you believe it? A month already.
I know, and it's just been so great. And if you're just joining us, we have a brand new show. Hey, you're listening to it right now. Conversations with Regina and Roxanne, High Desert Dialogue. You can hear us Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. and Sundays at 8 a.m. right here on Talk 960. And we're hoping to expand it to our other radio stations here in the High Desert.
So keep listening.
Keep listening. And our focus, Regina, we're just trying to bring a local sense of what's happening here in the High Desert. We've had some amazing guests.
Yes.
And we're honoring this month Black History Month. So it's been a tremendous opportunity to speak with some of these men and women who are providing services, community events here in the High Desert. So we hope to expand on that as well.
Absolutely. And Roxanne, you're absolutely right, is that our focus and intent is to be all things positive, right, that are going on here in the High Desert. We've got amazing people who are doing amazing things through some amazing organizations. Mm-hmm. And so we want to put a spotlight on that.
I know.
You know, because I've been here for 30 years, and every time something has come up against us, I mean, you know, the last big thing I can think of is actually COVID.
Yes.
That hit us. But we come together as a community, and we meet the needs, right? And so that's through individuals, through our nonprofits, through our community-based organizations, our faith-based community, you know, our businesses, our chambers. I mean, you just name it, right? And so I think what we have agreed that we want to do is be able to put that positive spin and spotlight on the things that are going on here that make the High Desert community just a great place to live, work, and play, right?
Yes. So stay tuned for much more. And if you're interested in becoming a sponsor, or if you have any ideas for any special guests, you can always email me at the station, Roxanne Scafidi at edbroadcasters.com. But stay tuned, because we've got some great, much more interviews. And again, all locally based here in the High Desert. I do want to give a sneak peek on a couple of things. Our radio stations are doing a Family Expo 2024. It's happening on March 16th.
Great.
It's going to be at the fairgrounds in Victorville. So stay tuned for more information about that. We're looking forward to it. Also, the City of Hesperia has a wonderful program they are continuing. It's the Military Banner Program, recognizing active duty service members here in the High Desert. You can celebrate a hero in your life with a personalized banner to be displayed at Hesperia Civic Plaza Park. The deadline to register is April 4th, so we'll have more information about that as well.
Yeah, and that's a beautiful program. It really is.
And also, too, just to highlight, we did have an earthquake a few weeks ago, remember? Preparedness is a shared responsibility, and that does include our recent storm, so we are still in winter season. You can find out more resources at prepare.sbcounty.gov. Also, our radio stations will provide information as well. So, but thank you to the High Desert.
Yes.
Thank you to our listeners. We've had some great feedback already on High Desert Dialogue. So please keep giving it to us, and we really
keep
appreciate
listening.
It.
Yes. Yeah, keep listening, keep supporting us, and keep supporting those in our community that are doing wonderful things.
All right. Thank you, Regina, and we will hope to talk to you next weekend.
Absolutely. I'll be here.
Yes, me too.